Thanks for listening to the Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
Now let's get this party started. You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
To Tuesday, we're live in Los Angeles. This is The Herd. Wherever you may be and however you may be listening, iHeartRadio, Fox Sports Radio, FS1. The colors of our set, the colors of Joy's dress. There's just optimism flowing all over America. And our show today, feel very good about everything these days. The draft is over. 1 hour from now, the coaching hires are in. The free agency moves are in. The draft is all complete. I'll give you my first Herd hierarchy. Now, I'm allowed to do several more due to injuries in camps.
Mm-hmm.
My first Herd hierarchy in 1 hour for the year. Top 10 teams in the league. Coachings are all done. Coaching changes. The free agency stuff's done. The draft is all in. We're ready to go.
Basically, football season.
It is. Terry Bradshaw an hour from now. So I saw another story yesterday. This happened at the very end of our show. Joy and I were talking about this. There's apparently a story a couple years ago. I didn't know about this. Aaron Rodgers was furious that the Packers let go of a lightly used wide receiver. I knew they were mad years ago. He was when they got rid of the coach, the quarterback coach, and didn't tell him. And I knew he was mad about Jordan Love. And now he's got a wide receiver who made 20 catches in 2 or 3 years. He was mad about that. I mean, just rip the Band-Aid off. Let's just make the – you cannot win a Super Bowl with this level of dissension and animosity and acrimony in the organization, and it's not going to get better. And I was thinking about this. What is Aaron and the Packers? It is a relationship. It is a marriage. You sign a contract. When you get married, you're signing stuff, right? You got to go get your license. Why? That's what the way sports is. I mean, you are contractually tied to it. So it is a relationship. It is a marriage. And to fix a marriage, you got to go to therapy. You got to make sacrifices. But even if you do all that, once you lose trust, it's really over. You can go to therapy forever. If I don't trust you or you don't trust me, we can smile. We can still be intimate occasionally. We can go to dinner parties, vacations, not yell at each other in front of the kids. But deep down, the reservoirs at your soul, I don't trust you, you don't trust me. It's over, really. It's not a great relationship. And Aaron Rodgers will never unsee the Jordan Love pick. And Aaron just happens to be a guy that forgets nothing and remembers everything. The trust has been lost. Rip the Band-Aid off. Let's go. Green Bay is about Super Bowls. This isn't the Bengals here. This isn't the Lions here. It's about Super Bowls. You're not winning a Super Bowl with this level of animosity. Trust has been lost. Philadelphia, Carson Wentz. Philadelphia knew Carson could still play. Carson Wentz liked a lot about Philadelphia, but they lost trust in each other. Now, Russell Wilson and Pete Carroll, they had their issues this offseason. But they didn't lose trust in each other. Russell Wilson was just tired of saying, "Go Hawks." And Russell said, "I want an offensive line and better pieces, and I'm going to go public with it." And what did Seattle do? They fixed it. Fast. Russell Wilson, a couple years ago, "I want more money." What did Seattle do? Okay, they fixed it. Gave him a contract, got draft picks. Twice, Russell Wilson's gone public because he's mad at him. It's not that he doesn't trust Seattle. But he wants them to listen to him. And what do they do every time? They listen and immediately act. Remember that rumor, Russell Wilson's going to the Giants? It went public. I was told by a source it was real. Literally 2 weeks later, they had a new contract. Russell was second, third highest paid quarterback. This year, he complained about the offensive line. What did they do? They went and got him a tight end. They just drafted a wide receiver. They got Gabe Jackson left guard. They re-signed the fullback. They re-signed Chris Carson. They made the offense better. And they got rid of the offensive coordinator and got a new one and made sure they gave Russell the phone number and they talked 2 days in. Trust was never lost in Seattle. By the way, when Tom Brady left New England, it was a trust issue. Remember Tom, the year before he left, was barking on television to wide receivers, "Get open! Get open!" Tom had lost trust that despite the fact for 10 years he took pay cuts, They couldn't get him legitimate wide receivers and tight ends. He lost trust in Belichick's ability to land elite skill people. Goff and McVay. What was the issue? McVay lost trust that Goff, against the best teams, couldn't make plays. That the protection had to be perfect, the play design had to be perfect, and football's not perfect. They broke up. Garoppolo and Shanahan, they like each other. There's no question they like each other. But Shanahan drafts a quarterback and says publicly, we don't trust Garoppolo's body. There's a lot of different trust issues. Kyle Shanahan, like, we can't trust Garoppolo to stay healthy. Brady, I can't trust Belichick to draft receivers, tight ends, and skill people. By the way, where did Tom go? An organization that had a bunch of tight ends and wide receivers and skill people. McVay doesn't hate Jared Goff, but he didn't trust him in big spots against the best teams and pass rushes unless the play was perfect. But Russell and Pete want the same thing. The difference is Pete generally wants the defense to be great, so he'll trade a bunch of draft picks for a safety. And Russell's like, no, I'm the star. Make the offensive line and the wide receiving corps better. They just had a disagreement on how to get better. But that's why that marriage works. It's not perfect. Russell and Pete's not perfect, but Aaron in Green Bay is done. It's done. He'll never unsee Jordan Love. And when you start complaining in the last couple years, Aaron now apparently, according to a story, is complaining about a lightly used wide receiver who was let go and he wasn't told. I mean, come on. Now you're just picking fights. I mean, now you're just arguing. 4 days ago, I left a coffee cup in the sink and you didn't put it in the dishwasher. That's an argument? That's trust loss. That's when you start making crap up. And Greg Jennings said something on our show recently. I think it was last Thursday or Friday. Green Bay is what Green Bay is. They're never going to mortgage the future, draft picks, free agents. They're never going to do that. That's not who they are. They're not going to do what Tampa's doing. They're not going to do what Seattle's doing. They're not going to do what Philadelphia did. They're not going to spend the money on free agents that New England just did, as Greg Jennings knows their culture and their nature.
They didn't get what Aaron wants. So it tells me that they're just throwing salt on a wound, throwing dirt on the grave. Look, we're moving on eventually. Face it. This is what we do. You know it. The writing's been on the wall with Bart Starr, with Brett Favre, now with you. This is how we operate.
It's over. Just rip the Band-Aid off. It's so much easier. All right, I want to shift to this. As you know, I did not think the 49ers drafting Mac Jones was a great idea. My takeaway is, listen, draft Trey Lance or Justin Fields. Either one that's dynamic. Either one. I was more Trey Lance than Justin Fields by the end, but draft either one. But Mac Jones, you can't sell that to the locker room. And I was also a big fan of keeping Garoppolo around. I've said this multiple times. You only gave up a second rounder for him. You don't need to win another trade. Trey Lance isn't ready to play. I like Justin Fields. He may not be ready to play. It's the NFC West. It's the best division in football. Just keep Garoppolo around. You won the trade already. I mean, if he stays healthy the whole year, you're going to win the division. You have a chance to win the division. You could be a Super Bowl team. If he doesn't stay healthy and falls apart in week 8 or 9, put the young guy in. But there's no reason to ship him off now. It's the NFC West. You want to face Pete Carroll twice and McVay twice and Kyler Murray twice. No matter how good you are, Garoppolo should stick around. So yesterday on the Rich Eisen show, Shanahan was talking about Garoppolo, keeping him, and the situation they're in right now at quarterback.
Jimmy's definitely our starter right now, and right now there isn't competition because I don't believe Trey would be in a position to compete. Jimmy is too good of a player. He's got too good of a grasp of our offense. I'm not going to sit here and say I'll never play a rookie quarterback, and I'm not going to sit here and say I will play him. That's kind of up to him. When he's ready to compete, which that doesn't mean he tells me, that doesn't mean I tell him, hey, we'll all see it. And I think it'll start with me, but it'll go to the coaches, it'll go to the players. And guys know when a guy's ready to compete with a starter, and you kind of get that vibe.
Now, that's interesting. Guys know when a young guy's ready to compete with a starter. So what Kyle Shanahan is saying, we're men, we're visual animals. Women are more nuanced than that. We're visual animals. as he said, guys will know when the young guy is ready. That's not a small thing. Guys will know. It's very easy to sell guys on stuff they can see. My wife buys stuff. She can just read about it. She trusts her friends. Not me. I got to see it. Car, see, drive by. That's how I work. I got to see it. That's how guys are. We got to see it. It's interesting Shanahan says that. One of the reasons I like San Francisco keeping Garoppolo and drafting Trey Lance. You're going to get a buy-in with Trey Lance. Okay, first of all, Garoppolo knows the system. Guys like him. He looks the part. He got to a Super Bowl. Trey Lance and Justin Fields, let's talk Trey here, looks the part. He's actually bigger than Jimmy Garoppolo. He's more athletic than Jimmy Garoppolo. He throws a deep ball as good as Jimmy Garoppolo. The Niners, the first day in camp, those guys are going to be like, they like Jimmy G. They got to a Super Bowl with Jimmy G. But you're going to buy in to Trey. You're going to be like, he's a good-looking guy. He's confident. He's big. He's tall. He's strong. He's fast. He's going to rip off a run and run past one of those linebackers. Guy's going to be like, woo! We get what our staff did there. I never bought that with Mac Jones. Mac Jones, smaller than Jimmy G, doesn't have the arm, not as big. Now, our radio audience can't see this, but Jimmy G and Mac Jones, locker room, first day of practice, go ahead and put it up. You think there's buy-in? I'm being totally honest. You think there's buy-in? Nah, bro. The bottom line here is Jimmy Garoppolo, those dudes like him. They trust him. They can see him. The square jaw, the Super Bowl, the confidence, the swagger, the arm. They like Jimmy G. They like him. He just can't stay healthy. So when they draft Trey Lance and he goes into camp, guys are going to be like, he ain't ready to play, but dude, you see that guy peel that one off today? See that guy run? You get buy-in. Dave Wannstedt always says, you can lose games, don't lose the locker room. So the Niners locker room is going to look at Garoppolo at practice. He knows the playbook. But they're going to see Trey Lance, and they're going to be like, oh, I get it. I get it. Yeah, I get Mac Jones here. Remember, he can play now, so you got to move off Jimmy G. I don't think there's buy-in. I'm not picking on him, but he's smaller than Jimmy G, not built like Jimmy G, doesn't run as good as him, not as athletic as Jimmy G. I don't think he has a better arm than Jimmy G. According to all the scouting reports, Mac Jones' arm is average. Jimmy G's got a pretty good arm. So how good does it feel today in San Francisco? Kyle Shanahan today. I got Jimmy G. I got a Super Bowl roster. I got a stud at quarterback who got me to a Super Bowl. And then you get this kid coming in who's not ready to play yet, but wow. I mean, if you can't see his ceiling three practices in, then you're a blind man. You can't see. So I think so much of sports and so much of men is you can sell me stuff I can see. I mean, that's part of our problem in America is we have to see everything, right? We don't read as much. We only like headlines. But I always thought, keep Garoppolo, get one of these 6'4", 220 guys that can run around. You can get buy-in. I never bought the players are going to look at Mac Jones and go, Russell Wilson twice a year, Kyler Murray twice a year, Matt Stafford's arm twice a year, Aaron Rodgers, Tom Brady, that, I don't buy it. We're simple creatures, folks. We are. We're simple creatures. Terry Bradshaw is criticizing Aaron Rodgers, and I actually don't do this much. I disagree with Terry Bradshaw. He'll be on later.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Navi and tankless water heaters. Go to tanklessmadesimple.com. Save money. Save the planet. Save space. Navian. So Terry Bradshaw is on the show in about an hour from now, about 50 minutes, and he's talking about Aaron Rodgers. He was on radio in New York talking about Aaron Rodgers and his demands and his neediness. And Terry Bradshaw thinks it just makes Aaron Rodgers look incredibly weak. Here it is.
With him being that upset shows me just how weak he is. Who the hell cares who you draft? I mean, he's a three-time MVP in the league, and he's worried about this guy they drafted last year at number one. And for him to be upset, my God, I don't understand that. Pittsburgh drafted Mark Malone, number one, Cliff Stout in the third or fourth round. I had them coming at me from all angles. I embraced it. So I don't understand why he's so upset at Green Bay.
Listen, we got to be honest about this. The world's changed. Quarterbacks now are paid more. Quarterbacks now, because of the rules, mean more. They're pampered more. You can't hit them anymore. The world has changed. It was in the 60s, 70s, and 80s, and early 90s, your best player could be a running back, and you could be talked about as a Super Bowl team. If your best player is a running back now, if that's where the offense runs through, we don't even talk about you. You're just not a Super Bowl team. I mean, here's how quarterbacks were allowed to be treated in the 70s and 80s, including Terry Bradshaw. You'd be thrown out of games. You'd be out for a month. You would be fined hundreds of thousands of dollars if you hit quarterbacks. I'm showing this to our audience on FS1. You couldn't hit Aikman like this. You couldn't hit Bradshaw like this. You're not allowed to hit those guys like that anymore. You can't grab and throw guys. Joe Montana and Bradshaw and Aikman, there was headhunting going on. Elway, headhunting going on. The last time I saw a quarterback get hit like that was Cam Newton, and it was about 4 or 5 years ago, and I swear to God we spent a week and a half on it. People were furious that the NFL allowed Cam Newton to get hit like that. I mean, so the world's changed. You can't hit players like that. And the reality is, it's like technology. In the 80s and 90s, technology was another industry. Ooh, it's growing. Now it's the world. It doesn't even matter if you're like a big box retailer. If you don't have websites, if you don't have streaming, you're dead. It's over. It's done. Our phones, we live through them. I can order food, watch TV. I got my calls. I got my alarm clock. I don't need anything. I got my phone. I'll be able to wash and dry clean clothes on that thing within like 2 years. That's the reality of it. So technology went from just an industry to running our lives. Quarterbacks were important. Now they're everything. Bill Belichick's the best coach ever. They lose Brady. They're kind of lost. They spent a fortune in free agency. They had a losing record. They don't look close to as good as Buffalo. I'm not sure they can beat Miami anymore. Like, you just got to treat these guys different. You have to play the game. And these are human beings. Some of them, your Kevin Durant and Aaron, are a little more sensitive. It's not ideal, but they're human beings. Aaron tends to be a little prickly, a little sensitive. Okay, that's fine. Listen, if Jordan Love could play, maybe Aaron wouldn't be as sensitive. But when you draft Jordan Love and he can't play yet, what does it do to Aaron? It empowers him. Aaron's like, oh, you think that's going to replace me? If you'd have drafted Jordan Love, and let's be honest, he looked like Josh Allen, 6'6", big arm, runs like the wind. Aaron Rodgers would not be releasing a statement through sources before the draft, I don't want to be here, because he wouldn't have the power. This all comes down to Jordan Love. If the dude was a rock star, Green Bay would have total leverage, and Aaron would see it at practice every day. But like Aaron now, you empowered him. Like, he's already a little prickly and a little difficult and a little high maintenance. That's okay. I'm not blaming. Yeah, whatevs. I got Joey. I was lucky. Doesn't always work that way, right? Like, ideally, you'd like him to be a little more focused and resilient, a little more Brady, a little more. But it's okay. But once you drafted Jordan Love and the dude's not ready to play, you just empowered him. It's a flex. Aaron's a 24/7 flex. He knows he's got Green Bay right where he wants him. And you do have to pamper these guys more. You do. You know, if Belichick wouldn't have had a losing record last year, if it had gone to the free agent market, stop getting linebackers and corners and go get a wide receiver. Joy with the news.
No. Turn on the news.
This is the Herdline News.
I may start being more difficult.
No, don't really. There's no win there for me at all.
The long-term quarterback plan for Washington is still up in the air. They do have Ryan Fitzpatrick, Taylor Heinicke, and Kyle Allen on the roster right now. And Ron Rivera said the team discussed moving up from the 19th spot in the draft to get another one.
It was a big conversation we had. We're talking about the quarterback position, talking about the young men that we really liked a lot. So we just thought maybe if we slipped to the right number, we could go ahead and do it. So there was a conversation, but we really felt strongly about just holding and just trying to fill the rest of the needs.
Well, I don't like when you have more than one quarterback on the roster, but three is a whole other level.
You know, Ron Rivera is probably thinking this. So I took the job over. I created stability.
Yep.
We got to the playoffs my first year.
Won the division.
Won the division. So there's no job threat. And he's probably thinking, listen, in this division, I can still win this division, and I don't have my quarterback. If he was in another division right now and he's looking up at Mahomes and Justin Herbert at Derek Carr, I think Ron would be like, okay, we can't, we're not viable here. But in his division, he won the division last year essentially on defense, and I would say Dallas and Washington next year are favored to win the division. So his whole thing is, I can be patient here.
He definitely can be patient. Maybe they're waiting to see what's in next year's draft. They didn't want to mortgage too much of their future for what maybe they felt like was an unknowns where they were going to move up to the in the draft to be able to take someone. But here's the problem that I have with this plan. We talk about this all the time. Who's the best quarterback in your division, right? So we know Dak Prescott
right
is coming
now,
back.
Dak.
He's going to be better. We know what their offense was when he was out there. So he's going to be back. Last year, Dak wasn't out there. Part of the reason why you won the division. Is Daniel Jones better than Ryan Fitzpatrick? I would say slightly yes. He's definitely more athletic.
Give me September, but I agree with you.
Okay.
Give me five more starts.
Fair.
But I agree with you.
Right now, let's say Daniel Jones is a little better than Ryan Fitzpatrick. So that means you have, assuming Ryan Fitzpatrick wins the job, you have the third best quarterback because we don't know what we have in Jalen Hurts yet. So you have the third best quarterback, the best defense in the division for
yes,
sure.
Yes, no question.
I don't know that balances out to winning the division and making the playoffs.
I don't disagree. I think September is going to tell a lot about this division. But I guess my point is Ron is being patient because I do think he bought so much credibility with the owner, Dan Snyder's a lot of work, and the team that his whole thing is, I'm not going to rush. I'm not giving up five first-round picks in this rebuild. Because I do think Ron Rivera thinks this morning, I'm the best coach in this division. I got the best defense in this division. And by the way, they did upgrade offensively in some spots. So I thought they had a decent draft. So we'll see.
Well, Mac Jones is heading to the Patriots. But with Cam Newton also on the team, he won't be forced to start as a rookie. Steve Sarkisian was his offensive coordinator for the last two seasons at Alabama. And he thinks that Mac is capable of making an impact if he is called upon in year one.
I honestly think he's probably the most qualified rookie quarterback to start in year one. I think him being in school for 4 years and having to persevere and wait his turn behind a Jalen Hurts, behind a Tua, and then he got his opportunity. He made the most of it. The 1 year he started, we played an all SEC schedule with Notre Dame and with Ohio State on top of that. So I think he's in a great position to go and compete.
You know, the best thing I could argue Mac Jones' greatest qualification, and this is what you can't argue, he has two NFL coaches at Alabama. That's a huge advantage. Sark and Saban. So
yeah.
He ran
generally, the quarterbacks who play at Alabama have that, though. And we haven't seen too much success from them.
Well,
at the very least, they always have Nick Saban.
I think Sark, and I believe this, I think Sark was the best coordinator
yes.
in college football last year.
I agree, but in no way is Mac Jones more qualified to start right now than Trevor Lawrence, who has 36 starts to Mac Jones' 17.
Right.
And I would also say Justin Fields is more qualified to start right now with 22 starts over Mac Jones' 17.
And by the way, qualified's an interesting word.
Right.
Because we've all worked with people whose resume, oh, he went to Yale and she went to Princeton. They're qualified. And then you work with them and you're like, they have no common sense. They've been pampered. They don't know the real world. They
right.
never had a summer job. Qualified's an interesting, a lot of people qualify for stuff. Doesn't mean they're ready to win.
And I don't don't want to make it seem like we're piling on Mac Jones. I kind of am. I'm firmly in the I'm a doubter space with Mac Jones. Yeah. But also, I would say I love that he went to the Patriots. Yes. I don't love him to start right away. And generally, yeah. I do think that rookie quarterbacks should start right away. But this isn't the situation. Cam Newton is the starter. But you're also going to a very complicated offense as well. So I don't think we're going to see him this year. But out of all of these quarterbacks that were taken, the top five quarterbacks, Trevor Lawrence is clearly the most qualified to start right now, if we're using that word qualification. So Steph Curry continued his red hot shooting last night in a big 123-108 win over the Pelicans. 8 threes, 41 points, 4 rebounds, and 8 assists. It was his league-leading 9th 40-point game this season and 6th in the last 15 games.
I feel like it's a wasted year without Klay Thompson. I mean, it's so great, but there's nothing to it. It's like, okay.
You know what? I felt that way, but the way that Steph Curry is playing, they are in the 8th seed right now. I disagree. I think that they're an organization that they took that year off with both of them being hurt, obviously. But this year, they're back to it, and Steph Curry is leading the way. He's 3rd in Fox Bet MVP odds right now, plus 1,800. And if I had a vote, I would give it to Steph Curry at this point. Without Steph Curry and the team, they've got to be the worst team in the West. And he's just been carrying them.
By the way, for all the Westbrook lovers, statistically, Golden State's in a playoff hunt.
Well, right. So his big statistical nights are leading to them winning.
Yes. Right. That's right. I mean, it's pretty amazing. Klay Thompson's out. They have no real size. They're one of the smallest teams. Wiseman got hurt. Draymond's past his prime. Kelly Oubre's athletic, not much more. It's not a very good basketball team. It's Steph Curry and a bunch of nothing. I could say the same for Washington, but Washington won't make the playoffs in the East. And remember, everybody's always been Westbrook over Curry. It's like, it's remarkable they're actually in a playoff spot in the West.
That's what I'm saying.
To me,
he won't win the MVP because they're in the 8th seed, but... And I know you hate talking about NBA MVP, but if you want to look at what is actually valuable, Steph Curry, and he's averaging more points and more rebounds this year than he did in his unanimous MVP year.
Joy with the news.
Well, that's the news.
And thanks for stopping by.
The Herdline News.
Mark Schlereth does some Big J journalism, apparently. So Schlereth apparently said something last week, and we're going to bring Mark Schlereth on, brought to you by Mercedes-Benz, the best or nothing. So I missed this story. I was not on Twitter all weekend, but apparently you were a big deal. So give me the story about you said something about Aaron Rodgers to the Broncos, which, by the way, you just signed a new contract radio in Denver, so you're a big deal there. We know that. And then all of a sudden, somebody that's important reached out to you. Like, let Uncle Colin in on the story. I missed it.
Well, listen, I had gotten some information from somebody that occasionally gives me information that has never been wrong. So he said, hey, man, this deal is pretty close to being done for the Rodgers to go to Denver. Obviously, things could fall through. Obviously, you know, people get cold feet and it could not work. So I just went on my radio station covering the draft and said it. And then it just went, you know, haywire on Twitter. Obviously, I'm not in the news breaking business, Colin. So so I get excited because, you know, I'm ultimately a Bronco fan, right? So I hear Aaron Rodgers may come to Denver. I'm excited. I'm on the radio. Then then it explodes like wildfire. So then all of a sudden Aaron Rodgers direct messages me and goes, hey, dude, where are you hearing this? Where in Denver are you hearing this from? I go, it's not from Denver. It's from somebody else. And he's like, oh. And he said, as soon as I know, he goes, I'll let you know what's going on. So we shall see. Certainly it doesn't seem great for Aaron Rodgers in Green Bay right now. And, you know, it's funny. I'm listening to you. I'm listening to Terry Bradshaw. Let me just tell you one thing right now about Aaron Rodgers. He is not concerned at all about drafting a quarterback. He understands that there's not a quarterback on the planet that can beat Aaron Rodgers out. He is that good. There's only about 3 or 4 quarterbacks in the National Football League that can cover warts, and he happens to be one of them. Everybody else exposes warts. He's one of the guys that covers warts. So it's not about that. To me, it's about, I want to win championships. We're the dynasty that never was. We've won one championship with Aaron Rodgers, who is arguably the greatest quarterback that's ever played. You could make that argument. He doesn't have the championships. Now, Terry Bradshaw has 4 championships, but they had the best defense on the planet in the Steel Curtain. They didn't move. There wasn't free agency. You didn't turn over your team 35% every single year. And you had Lynn Swan and John Stallworth and Franco Harris and Rocky Blyer, and you had the best offensive line with Mike Webster and Larry Brown and Steve Corson and all the guys that you had. So you were stacked, and you were stacked for years, winning, what, four championships in about a span of 6 years. So there's a difference here. You want to win championships, and in the last 10 years, the Green Bay Packers have drafted in the first round 9 defensive players and the heir apparent quarterback, and you're looking at this guy going, this dude can't play. He does nothing for our team, and I want to win championships.
Yeah.
Like, I'd be irritated with him too.
Yeah, I mean, especially when they got beat by San Francisco twice physically, you knew they needed playmakers, either, you know, whatever, playmakers, and they went and got a guy that's not going to play. Second round pick was a running back who wasn't going to play, so I always defended Aaron there. I will say this, though. I do think there's a list of teams where Aaron could go. Denver, with your sources, I will say this. Denver's the one team in the league I'm like, God, if they had a quarterback. I actually think the last two drafts and free agency, they've done a really good job. I like their roster. If tomorrow, if what would Denver be willing to give up to get Aaron? Obviously, couple first round picks. Maybe one of their two pass rushers. Maybe one of their receivers. I mean, what do you think Denver would give up to get him?
Well, I mean, I would hope you would give up anything to get him. whatever it takes. A couple first rounders, like you said, a Bradley Chubb, maybe one of the receivers. Maybe it's Jerry Jeudy. Maybe it's somebody else. But I think you would have to give up, obviously, a lion's share of players, and you'd want to give up young players that aren't going to have contracts come up in the near future. So I think those are the parameters that you're going to have to look at. But again, like I said, Aaron Rodgers covers a multitude of sins. He covers warts. So he is that good that you can afford to give up some of those guys, and he is going to make those receivers better than they are. He is going to make that offensive line better than it is. Having conversations with Aaron in the past, he's the only quarterback that's ever talked to me about, hey, listen, I don't look at the back end first. Most quarterbacks look at the back end and think, okay, what coverage are they in? How am I going to beat this coverage, right? Is it two high? Is it single high? Which way are the corners, you know, from a leverage standpoint, outside leverage? Are they square up? Do they have their hips turned to the sideline? Because it tells you, those are tells that give you kind of what they're going to do defensively. Aaron looks at the front. He looks at your front and he says, okay, what are they in front-wise? Are they an under front or over front? What's the potential blitz that comes out of this front? And how do you tie the coverage to the back end? Or how do you tie the coverage to the front on the front side? And so, like, in every front, they have a favorite coverage. So he says, I can turn my back to the defense based upon what I saw on the front and understand what they're going to rotate to on the back end and know exactly where I'm going with the football without ever actually looking at the defensive backs. So there is no tell there from his eyes that he just is that far advanced. And when you're that far advanced as a player, regardless of the position, you're not worried about any rookie coming in and taking your job. This is a really hard job, and there's no tougher job than playing quarterback, having to understand everything. And so you know that if you're Aaron Rodgers, you're ultimately that confident. But to have one championship in the run that he has had as three MVPs and the quarterback that he is, unacceptable, and I'm sure he's very upset about that, and it's one of the reasons he's got some type of rift going on with the front office.
By the way, just quickly here, the DM, you don't have to tell me everything that was said. Did you do a lot of DMs? Was he angry? Was he give me his state of DM mind. What was it like?
No. So Aaron and I have had a relationship since he was a rookie. So it was more friendly. Let's get dinner next time. You know, we're in the same place. Please come to Denver and you can have dinner at my house. I'll give you a lifetime supply of stinking good green chili. You know, I'll love you on, I was kissing up essentially. I was like, hey man, I'll give you a lifetime supply of green chili. You know what? I love you on Jeopardy. I've got them all recorded. I'm watching them on a loop, you know, whatever it takes for you to get to Denver. I'm in. And obviously, you know, you look at the situation right now, if you're in Denver and you look at this division, the AFC West, and you look at Mahomes and Herbert, and I'm a big Carr fan. So I think he's great. Like right now, you're the fourth best quarterback by a long margin.
Yeah.
In that division, regardless if it's Teddy Bridgewater, if it's Drew Locke. So if you can put an Aaron Rodgers up there, all of a sudden you've got the number one quarterback or, you know, 1A, 1B, however you want to parse it out with Mahomes. I mean, that's a that that makes a huge difference, no question. So it was, it was some back and forth there and some joking around with Aaron. And no, he wasn't at all mad, but he did, I'm sure that, all the other reports are true. And I didn't talk to him about those things, how angry he is or how upset he is. It was more just two friends having a conversation.
Good stuff, Schlereth. Appreciate it. Only Aaron Rodgers stuff today, but we appreciate it. Thanks for stopping by, my man.
My pleasure, man. Be well, Colin.
All right. Take care. And I do agree that Terry Bradshaw just grew up in a different era, and it's just different. I mean, the quarterback has to be treated differently because the rules now all bend toward the quarterback. So you got to get that thing. You can have a lot of flaws with your football team, but you can't be average at quarterback. And that's kind of what Denver is.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
Hey, it's Ben, host of The Fifth Hour with Ben Maller, along with my trusty sidekick, David Gascon. Would mean a lot to have you join us on our weekly auditory journey. You're asking, what in God's name is The Fifth Hour? I'll tell you, it's a spinoff of The Ben Maller Show, a cult hit overnights on FSR. Why should you listen? Picture, if you will, a world where we chat with captains of industry in media, sports, and more every week. Explore some amazing facts about human nature and more. Listen to The Fifth Hour with Ben Maller on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcast.
All right, welcome back. My first Herd hierarchy of the new year at the top of the hour, plus Terry Bradshaw. So, I keep hearing with all the Aaron Rodgers stuff, well, does Aaron want to go here and Aaron want to go there and Aaron here? There's a reason Aaron Rodgers reached out to Mark Schlereth when Mark Schlereth said Denver wants him. Because Aaron doesn't have any say in the matter. He doesn't have a veto clause. He doesn't have a no-trade clause. Aaron's only leverage is, I may retire. Like, if you traded him to the Houston Texans, which is a grease fire, if I was Aaron, I would retire. I would go to Jeopardy for a couple years and then come back into the league. We know Aaron wants to go to the West Coast. But again, that doesn't mean I think Aaron would be willing not to go to the West. Denver's not the West Coast. It's closer to Kansas City than Los Angeles. And it's got cold winters, just like Green Bay. But I think he would consider Denver. I think he'd consider Washington. We've talked about the Las Vegas Raiders. Let me just throw two teams out there that have not been discussed. And I think they're very interesting places. Miami Dolphins. Brian Flores has said, we love Tua. The GM, Chris Greer, we love Tua. But if you went and got Aaron Rodgers, everybody would get, hey, we weren't lying, it's Aaron Rodgers. This is what the Broncos did when they had Tim Tebow. Tim Tebow was winning. He had a faith-based following in Denver. You couldn't just move off Tebow with a backup. But then Peyton Manning came to town, and everybody went, well, okay, it's Peyton Manning. You could move off Tua with Aaron Rodgers. Also, it's an AFC team. You'd get Aaron to the other side on conferences. The other thing is Miami has had a lot of draft capital. It's a very young football team. What they don't need is more draft picks. What they need is veterans. They need a veteran presence with that offensive line and young receivers and young defense. So I think he fits. Also, you're Miami. You're in a division with Bill Belichick and Josh Allen. Don't you kind of need a playmaker at quarterback? Not a guy that needs a perfect protection? I think Miami's very interesting. And I think you could move off Tua with Aaron Rodgers, and Brian Flores could say, hey, we weren't lying. It just fell into our lap. The other one is the New York Giants. Think about this for a second. Next year, the New York Giants have two firsts, two thirds, and two fourths. They could give up a ton to Green Bay. You could give Green Bay a first, a second, a third, a fourth just next year. So Green Bay wouldn't have to wait for years getting crushed for giving up Aaron Rodgers. You could have four great picks next year from them. You could draft another quarterback if you wanted to. Also, I think Aaron would be willing to listen. It's a weaker division. They have tremendous weapons. They have an excellent, better than Green Bay defense. So the Giants, to me, with all those picks, and Dave Gettleman, by the way, they're not firing Joe Judge. Okay, if anybody's going to get run here, if they don't win, it's going to be Gettleman. He's got to win. He said yesterday, hey, you explore everything. You do, especially when it could be your last year with the New York Giants. So don't kid yourself. If you look at some of Arizona's moves, they've been very aggressive. Steve Keim and Cliff Kingsbury need to win this year. Don't kid yourself. You know, Ryan Pace for Chicago, getting a lot of heat. Think I'll move up and get Justin Fields. That'll buy me good press for a year. So, and you know, a lot of hope. That move by Chicago is a lot of hope. It buys everybody, you know, one more year of good income. So I think the Giants are interesting to keep your eye on. And again, it's Aaron wants to go west, but Aaron's big. New York, they could film Jeopardy in New York. You know, there's a studio. There's a production house somewhere in New York. He could get it done. Terry Bradshaw around the corner. You're still running your business on QuickBooks? Make that quicksand. Time to upgrade. Your company's growing fast. You need to. Right now, get the right software. NetSuite, offering one-of-a-kind financing. NetSuite.com/herd. NetSuite.com/HERD. Rashawn Slater, new left tackle for the Chargers on today.